Despite this pandemic, the housing market in Wisconsin has been booming this summer. July set a record for the most homes sold across the state. That's as far as the Wisconsin Realtors Association's been keeping track for the last 15 years. Interest rates remain low, but what do you need to know to get a mortgage? What do you need? Credit. How do you build it? Magic. Or so it could seem. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'd be interested to know from you, what's something you didn't know that could affect your credit score that you found out the hard way? And how can we build credit? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. You can always email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Peggy Olive, who has some thoughts on all of this. She works for the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security and the Division of Extension. Peggy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. And when we talk about our credit score, can you give me an idea of, before we get into the weeds of it, what is it?
It's complicated. That's kind of the standard answer when it comes to credit. That most people do have some credit scores, plural, on file. You have to have an open line of credit with a creditor who reports to one of the three major credit bureaus for at least 6 months. And then, lo and behold, you have a credit report. And your credit scores are based off of the information in your credit report. And I'm saying credit scores because sometimes people will see a credit score that maybe they get for free from their credit card or online, or they're maybe from a financial institution when they get a mortgage. But there's each person may have hundreds of different credit scores. You'll have a different credit score for a credit card or an insurance company or a mortgage. And there's a secret formula based on the information in your credit report that determines these hundreds of different credit scores that each person will have.
So, Peggy, is there a good credit score? Is there a bad credit score? Is there some sort of line that you don't want to cross?
Well, again, yes and no. The higher the credit score, if we're looking at like a FICO score, getting it up to 850 is, you know, the highest you can get. But as the economy changes and the expectations change, that bar for what's, you know, going to put you in a place for a good credit or really saving on those interest rates, getting the best deal you can, it keeps kind of moving up and down. And typically, when we go into recessions, that credit bar goes up a little. So all of a sudden, you know, you have to have, like you said, you have to have all your ducks in a row if you want to get that mortgage with the good interest rate.
So are there other entities besides creditors that could enter anything into your credit score?
Well, it has to be someone that you've done some kind of business with. So when you talk about entities, if it's not like a creditor, a credit card, a car loan, a mortgage, it could be somebody if, for example, you've gone to a small claims court or there's a collection account. So somebody you didn't originally have credit with, but now they're trying to collect some past debt that you have. And also, you could see if you've gotten a copy of your credit report, you can see there's something called soft inquiries. So if you have a line, if you have an open insurance plan, typically your insurance company might check your credit report every once in a while just to make sure everything's going okay. But that only shows up as a soft inquiry. You only see it. That does not go into your credit score.
So with all those credit scores that I have out there and with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau saying that I can get free credit scores from the credit reporting agencies every week from now until next April, what scores am I getting when I ask for them?
I'm going to jump in there because it's not the free credit scores. There is no free official credit score. It's your official credit report. So you can get a free weekly credit report from any of the three major credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, Experian, free weekly only online from now till April 2021. And none of those free reports come with that actual score.
What do they come with?
So it comes with your credit report, or it's also called a consumer disclosure statement. And any of your listeners who have already seen their credit report Well, be familiar with that. It starts out with your basic contact information, maybe addresses you've lived at if you've moved recently. Then it has open lines of credit. It has some, could be up-to-date lines of credit. It could be have information listing your credit accounts that you've fallen behind on. And it usually has, if you've had a closed line of credit in good standing, it could be on your report for 10 years just to help kind of boost up. So maybe you paid off a car loan or, you know, student loan or something, and that could stay on your report as positive information for 10 years. And if you do have any missed payments that show up on your credit report, that's going to drop off, or it should drop off after 7 years from that first missed payment.
So you're looking at your financial history. You're seeing what you have, who you owe to, and you want to make sure that everything in that report is accurate and there's no real surprises in those details.
Absolutely. So the kicker is that no one is going to be monitoring your credit report for you if you don't do it for yourself. So when I say, for example, an older line of credit should drop off after 7 years, well, yeah, it should, and it's supposed to by law. But if it doesn't, no one's going to catch that and contact the credit bureaus about it unless you're the one looking at it.
Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security and the Division of Extension. What do you want to know about protecting your credit score during this tough time, and how are you trying to safeguard it right now? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the morning show. And Peggy, millions of people have lost their jobs because of this pandemic. $600 a week unemployment bonus was gone 6 weeks ago. And it could mean that people are trying to grapple with late payments. And so how can late payments affect our credit?
They do affect our credit once they're reported on our credit reports. A 30-day late payment could ding your report, lower your score a little bit more, and then the later the payment gets, the more it could start dinging your score. But there are some provisions put in place from the CARES Act for individuals if they're having a hard time keeping up with any kind of credit payment. So you can contact the person you owe money to, whether it's a credit card or maybe it's your car loan, and come up with some kind of accommodation. See if they'll be willing to work with you. Can you skip a couple payments? Can they lower your monthly payment? And whatever accommodations they're willing to do, you know, ask questions. So is interest still going to accrue? If it's a credit card, can you still use the credit card? Will you have a big balloon payment? Maybe after a couple months you owe everything you've missed. So find out the details about that. Get that information in writing so you know exactly what you're agreeing to. And then in a month or two, you know, when you start getting this new plan, check your credit report, because after a couple months, that creditor will start, it'll start showing up on your credit report. And the CARES Act said, for example, if you had a 30-day late payment and you came up, and it's in your credit report, and you came up with an agreement with your person you owed money to, that 30-day late payment stays 30 days late until you catch up. So they can't make it 60 days, 90 days late, which would lower your scores more.
Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security in the Division of Extension, and we do have some questions coming in this morning about what you can do to help your credit score, which is going to turn around and help you. So what do you want to know? What do you need to know? And if there's something we don't know about what could affect your credit score that you've learned about the hard way, please share 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation through the hour. The importance of this magical number, or the importance of your financial stability. All ahead, I'm Lee Rayburn. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. So we're talking about credit this morning and our credit score, where it comes from, how many different ways it's devised, the hundreds of credit report numbers that are out there just about you. And It's interesting because I don't know how much I know about this, but our guest knows it backwards and forwards. And the thing that I keep going back to is, what good is a credit score if you have to share it with others, others who have taken it from you? And it's come up already a few times this morning. Peggy Olive is our guest. I'm Lee Rayburn. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security and the Division of Extension. And let's go to Mo and Oconto this morning. Mo, you're on the Ideas Network.
Yes, thanks, Lee. Boy, you're a treasure on this. You're a great host.
Well, thank you.
So professional. My question is this. How can you freeze your credit? And it used to be where you had to pay to unlock it. Is that still the case?
It's a great question for those who have had their identity stolen, Mo. And Peggy, what do we know about protecting our credit score?
Yeah, I am so glad that Mo had asked that question. So there was a new law put in place in Wisconsin. It was in the end of 2018, I want to say, where you used to have to pay $10 to put a credit freeze on each of your three credit reports, and then you had to pay $10 to lift that freeze. Well, now it's free. So there's a federal law. You can put a free credit freeze on your report at each of the three bureaus. You have to contact all three, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And you can do it online if you have access to the internet. You can call the companies. If you've gotten a copy of your credit report, they'll have the contact information on there. And typically they give you some kind of PIN that is associated with your credit freeze. And then if you do need to lift that credit freeze, for example, let's say you wanted to open up an account or perhaps get a new look at a new insurance company and they want to check your credit, then you need to find out which credit bureau that creditor might be checking with and lift that freeze for the day or the couple days while that creditor will be checking your report. And I also want to say that it's a little confusing because each of the credit bureaus offers what they call a credit lock. And that's something that's just offered by the credit bureaus. It has no federal protections to it. So if you put one of those credit locks on that's just sponsored by the bureaus, it doesn't have those same protections, for example, if somebody should access your credit when you have a freeze in place. So a little bit of difference.
The freeze would be more protection for your credit score. Are there charges to get your credit score unlocked?
No. As a part of that new federal law, it is free to put the freeze on and to get it unfrozen. So you can put it on back and forth, little putsy, but you can put it back, a freeze on and take it off if you're going to be getting new credit, and then put the freeze back on, and it's all free.
Peggy, Mimi from Madison called, couldn't stay with us, but asked if she needs to check her credit report if it is locked. If she's placed a freeze on her own credit, should she still be checking it out?
I would say yes. You can get a lot of information from your credit report. I mean, you want to make sure that freeze is working. I mean, nothing is, you know, airtight, but you want to make sure it's working. And then you also want to make sure with your open lines of credit that, you know, let's say you have a credit card for a small retail store and you just kind of have it, maybe use it once in a while. You want to get on your credit report and make sure that there's not a whole bunch of charges being rung up on that account line. Even if you're not using it, it's already an open line of credit, so you want to make sure that no one else is using it, too.
Peggy Olive, is this axiom hold any water for you, that bills are negotiable?
It is. There's much truth to that. So if you have, and I definitely saw this during the Great Recession, if you have a credit card bill that's just overwhelming, we know, you know, if you're carrying over a balance at some point, that credit card balance could be a third of it could be interest, and it's not even your original charges. So you always have a right to call up that credit card company and say, hey, look, I'm in a tough spot. Is there anything you can do about my balance? And it's all across the board, their response. Some will say, you know, nope, sorry, tough luck, Charlie. Some will say, yes, we'll drop all of the interest and you just have to pay the principal, the original amount you charged. And then others will kind of meet you in the middle. So the answer is always no if you don't ask.
And Peggy, when is it a good idea to call and ask whether or not you could modify a loan or a bill or a contract?
It's very much an individual decision. I mean, I gave the example if somebody's had a cut in pay or they're out of work, that's always an appropriate time. Or if you've been a really good customer, you've never missed a payment, and maybe the credit card all of a sudden is putting an annual fee on or they're raising interest rates, you can always call and ask, hey, you know, can you lower the interest rate? I've been a great customer. I paid on time. So you can always negotiate that, those terms.
How much discretion's on the other end of the line, Peggy? I mean, what I'm asking, I suppose, is how nice do I need to be?
Yeah, very, very nice. Be Wisconsin nice.
Wisconsin nice, okay.
Wisconsin nice. And also, if, for example, if you're wanting to negotiate your bill down or come up with some kind of payment accommodation, ask to talk to an accounts manager or a loss mitigation specialist. Because the customer service person just picking up the phone, they probably don't have a whole lot of say over what's happening with your account.
But still, kindness could make a difference.
Absolutely, yeah. And as frustrating as it is, the time you might spend on hold, especially these days, you know, just...
Don't get angry.
Get a good book and, you know, cup of tea, decaf tea, and just, you know, wait it out.
We're learning how to manage our credit with Peggy Olive this morning. She's a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security in the Division of Extension. And how have you gamed your credit score? That's kind of what I want to know this morning at 1-800-642-1234. How have you been able to protect it against those who would try to pilfer it from underneath you, or accounts that you had through no fault of your own that were stolen? I'm interested to know. And Peggy, the news this morning is that the Trump administration has announced a 4-month ban on evictions. How do evictions affect credit? And if people are struggling, is this something they should consider taking advantage of?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are some, Wisconsin does have some emergency rental assistance program, the RAP program, in place if people are struggling with keeping up with their rent payments. And you are right. It was just announced that the CDC has put this freeze or a moratorium on evictions through the end of the year for they capped. It's a single person. Your household income is $99,000 or less or more for a couple. But definitely, you know, contact your landlord, even if you know it, this starts Friday, this new plan. So even if you know you won't be evicted, if you know you can't keep up with your payments, contact the landlord, start negotiating, start saying, well, you know, how much can you pay? Because you're still going to owe all that money at the end of the year. And a landlord could take you to small claims court. You know, even if they can't evict you, they could take you to small claims court after that point and say, hey, you still owe me this whole amount of money. And that could result in wages garnished or, you know, for example, when people got that $1,200 economic impact payment and the minute it hit their bank account, if they had a garnishment waiting, that money could have been taken right out of their account if they owed someone else money.
So this isn't going to, I mean, this isn't, you're still going to owe whatever your lease would have required of you. This just means for the next 4 months, you can't leave the property or wouldn't be removed from the property.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
What about homeowners then, Peggy? I think there's something in the CARES Act for where you can ask for a forbearance?
Yes, absolutely. Well, any homeowner, if they're struggling with their keeping up with their payments, again, it's just like I mentioned with credit cards, contact the creditor and absolutely ask what they can do for you or what kind of accommodations and how that will be handled with payments or balloon payments or interest rates. But there's particularly if you have a federal loan through your mortgage, and about half of the mortgages in the U.S. are with a federal loan product, you have a right to request a forbearance from your federal mortgage servicer for 180 days, and then you can roll that over for another 180 days. And that also puts a hold on any foreclosures till the end of the year. But if you don't have that federal mortgage, you can call, you know, go to makinghomeaffordable.gov and, you know, you can still find assistance and steps to go through that.
So, but this would still all have an impact on your credit score though, right?
Well, if you have, because of the CARES Act, if you have an accommodation in place with your creditor, if you're sticking to the terms of that new agreement, maybe it's a lower monthly payment, then that creditor must report to the credit bureaus that you're making on time in full payments as agreed. So it will not ding your credit report. It will not ding your credit score. But again, you're the one that has to check your credit report a couple months just to make sure that, you know, for if you're making half your mortgage payment every month, your mortgager is still reporting that as in full and on time.
We'd be interested in hearing from you this morning. We've got news coming up next, but this is your opportunity to make the most of the credit system as it now stands. And sometimes it feels like perhaps we are at the whims of it, but maybe there's a way to harness the power of it for ourselves, especially in economic times like these that can be so uncertain. And if you've got questions, well, our guest Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security in the Division of Extension. She has your answers at 1-800-642-1234, and our conversation continues until 7 this morning. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network, and if you haven't noticed yet, we've got some new neighbors. 1A is now live from 9 to 11 following our morning show here on the Ideas Network. And for those looking for On Point, you will find it starting at 1 o'clock. And the changes begin on Monday, and you can find the full slate online at WPR.org. And we'd appreciate it if you'd take a listen and let us know what you think. Again, it's WPR.org for the full details, WPR.org/fall2020. And maybe it's just the way it feels, but, you know, nothing judges you quite like a credit score. It can decide the car you drive and whether or not you can ever own a home and how many people make judgments on you based on that alone. You need to know how to use it. And that's why our guest is here, Peggy Olive, financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security in the Division of Extension. And that's why she's answering your calls all the way until 7 this morning at 1-800-642-1234. We'll go to Carrie in Green Bay this morning. Carrie, good morning. You're on the Ideas Network.
Hi. My question is, so my husband and I recently paid off all of our debt and closed our credit cards. And my understanding is that at some point we'll no longer have a credit score. I was wondering how long that takes to happen and if you could talk a little bit more about that.
How do you make your credit score disappear, Peggy?
Wow. Well, I'm so glad to hear from Carrie. Congratulations on paying down all their debt. It's a nice problem to have, thinking about your credit report. So typically when you have a positive line of credit and it's closed, like if you paid off that car loan, maybe you paid off a mortgage, student loans, typically it's reported on your credit report for 10 years after you've closed that account. So it is possible if you don't have any other additional lines of credit, you wouldn't have any open credit accounts after those 10 years.
The duration you spoke of earlier was 7 years to make a bad credit item disappear. How long does it take to build good credit? If you've made some financial mistakes or have faced some hardships that you had to find a way through, how do you start building that score up again?
Sure. There's some factors that go into your credit score that are really important to know about when you're trying to, you know, kind of get back on track. So the biggest factor that goes into most of the versions of credit scores that are out there is your payment history. So doing whatever you can do to make those on-time payments, that's usually about 35% of your score. And then that's going to be followed by all the different amounts that you owe on your different credit reports. So, for example, if you have a credit card with a $1,000 credit limit, typically, they say if you want to maintain your credit score, don't use more than a quarter of that credit limit. So don't use more than $250 on towards that $1,000 credit limit every month. And if you want to build up your score even faster, the lower you can keep that credit limit, the better. Some credit scores say don't use more than 5%.
But I think it sounds like you're saying, Peggy, is we'd like to see our credit limit be as high as possible, and then we use as little as possible of it for credit score purposes?
Yes, that is actually what I'm saying. And keep in mind, I don't make these rules. I'm just trying to play the game.
I appreciate it.
That up.
Who
yeah.
knew? Let's yeah. go to Judy in Little Chute. Judy, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I remember on 60 Minutes, they had a segment on credit, and some couple was trying to buy a house, and there were some mistakes on their credit report. And the guy who tracked down the agencies overseas, I believe, died from cancer, but they said there was nothing they could do because they were based overseas, and it happened in the United States, and I believe the couple had to hire an international lawyer to deal with it. They never did update anybody, but I wondered if things had improved since then.
Judy, it's much in the same vein as Sean from Eau Claire, who couldn't stay with us and wondered the same thing. What can you do to dispute something on your credit score? How can you get that credit score back?
Judy is right. It still can be a mess. There's a few protections in place now, but it still can get really messy if you're a victim of identity theft or even just mistakes in your account. So when you get that free copy of your credit report, the credit bureau is they have to tell you how to correct an error or a mistake or contest something that shows up on your credit report. So they have to send a page of directions. It could involve writing to them. Usually there might be some kind of form. On our extension money websites, we have sample letters to creditors you can use, or if you see a mistake on your credit report. So again, better to check that credit report 6 months before you know you might be buying a house, so you have a little bit of time to correct those mistakes. And you want to get each of your three credit report from each of the three credit bureaus, because they could have different information reported. You could have a mistake on one or two and not the third one.
I'm kind of curious now about the folks who don't have any credit at all or don't have a credit report score. I wonder how do you do that? What's life like on a day-to-day basis when you don't have to worry about that credit score?
Yeah, there are challenges with not having any credit also. It's if you're just starting out in the world, yeah. or, for example, if people have declared bankruptcy and canceled all of their credit accounts, or, the very people are young or they're new to this country and they're just kind of putting in roots, it can be very challenging. So, trying to open up a utility, you might have to put a big down payment down if you don't have any track record or credit history. Or trying to get that first apartment can be challenging. Or trying to get a car loan, you might have to have a co-signer if you have zero credit track record.
Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security in the Division of Extension. We're looking at all those credit scores about you this morning and what we can do about them. Your calls at 1-800-642-1234. Your emails at ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Kimberly in Fox Lake this morning. Kimberly, good morning. You're on the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. So I've seen a lot of advertisements about places that can put paying your rent on your credit score. One, is that true? And two, how much would it actually help your credit score?
Yeah, thanks, Kimberly. That is a great question. So I've mentioned the three major credit reporting bureaus, but there's about 47 different bureaus that collect information on us all across the board, every time we scratch our nose, and then they put it on a report somewhere. So there are some rent reporting bureaus, and I'm assuming that's what Kimberly's referring to. So if somebody does, they don't have a lot of credit history or they're trying to build up their credit, there are some of these rental bureaus that you can pay to have them report your on-time rent payments to one of the three major credit bureaus, and so that will show up on your credit report. So there are legitimate bureaus out there. You can go to the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, cfpb.gov, and you can put in a search for credit reporting agencies, and it has a list of those 47 different agencies and those legitimate rental agencies. So that's a great option for some people to try to boost their report. And speaking of boost, there also is Experian does have one program to help people to boost their credit report so people can choose if they pay, like, their cell phone bill automatically taken out of their checking account. They can have their on-time cell phone payments factored into their credit score. So, and that's a program offered through Experian. They can just look up that boost, and they can find out more about that as another way to help build up a credit report.
Does Experian charge for it?
No, that is free,
huh.
And they only report on-time payments, but if that, that are coming out of your checking or savings account. But if you miss more than three payments, they'll boot you out of the program.
Okay. Peggy Dan emailed to say that he recently got divorced and had to file for bankruptcy, and he wants to know how to start from scratch. And we've talked a little bit this morning, and we can talk about paying bills on time, the bills that you have. One of the tricks that you imparted to me is get the highest credit limit you can get, but by all means, use as little of it as you can, but do use it. What are some other ways to begin rebuilding from square one?
Sure. I mentioned about the rental reporting, the boost. If you have on-time payments for your mortgages coming out of your maybe your checking account. But there's also something, if you are not able to get a credit card, for example, you just don't have that credit report or credit score, then a lot of financial institutions offer what they call a secured credit card. And if they offer a secured credit card, it means you'll have whatever the credit limit is, maybe it's $300 or $500, you have to have that amount of money into a linked savings account or some kind of account. So whatever amount of money you have, that's what your credit limit is. And so if you miss one of those monthly payments as you're using, you know, only 5% of that credit limit, then the financial institution can take your money out of the account. That's why it's a secured card. And you want to make sure if you open a secured card, you want to make sure they report to the credit bureaus. And then usually after 18 months, maybe even 2 years, they might automatically switch from being a secured card to just being a regular credit card. So it's one option. I would start by checking with your financial institution first just to see if they offer that product.
One of the luxuries of online bill payment would have to be auto pay. You can turn that on and basically walk away.
It is, and again, there's good and bad things about that.
Oh.
You know, you can make your payments on time. You don't have to worry about that, the missing a payment. And we also know mistakes happen. I've heard some from people that have gotten a payment taken out twice in 1 month, and all of a sudden their account is overdrawn, and obviously it was just a computer error.
Sure, whole idea of set it and forget it with auto pay probably is not financial savvy advice. Set it and then check it would probably be more accurate from our guest, Peggy Olive, financial capability specialist who is still answering your questions this morning at 1-800-642-1234. How can we use this credit score in uncertain economic times like these? We may need it. So what do you need to know? And what's going to ding it? Still much to learn. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. If you missed Central Time yesterday on the Ideas Network, then you missed the story of the sad demise of blue jeans. You can listen online at WPR.org, and it is worth it. It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network now, and I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is all part of our brand new American pandemic economy. According to Reuters, working from home has drastically altered our behavior, the way we purchase, leaving behind Levi's and seeing a rise in the likes of Lululemon. It's just comfortable. Taking a look at your finances this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Peggy Olive. She's a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security in the Division of Extension. So I learned this trick from you this morning, Peggy, about getting a higher credit limit and then using as little of it as possible can boost your credit score. Is there something I don't know about what can ding my credit score?
Yes. Well, you've already learned a great lesson in terms of, you know, using that credit limit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I guess it's just doing good credit management behaviors in terms of paying on time and keeping up with those payments and checking, you know, the set it and go back and check it again. So, yeah, just keeping an eye on those on-time payments. I mean, if you sometimes people say, well, I have an old credit card and I'm just not using it that much and it's too hard to keep track of it. I'm going to close it out. So your credit report also is kind of your long-time history. So if you're closing out an old credit report, it could shorten your credit history, the information showing up on your credit report, and that could, you know, lower your score a little bit. Mm. Or if you're applying for a whole bunch of new credit at one time. So having too many credit inquiries can lower your score just a little bit. So we say to people, for example, if you're shopping for a car loan, you know, yeah, it's great to get check with a few different financial institutions and the dealer to compare that, but try to do that within a two-week period and then purchase that car, if that's what you're planning to do, within 30 days. Because any inquiries within the past 30 days will not show up in your credit report already to lower your score.
I want you to go over that again. That was You've got 2 weeks to shop around for the best credit, and then you want to make that big purchase within 30 days before that shopping around for your credit dings your credit score.
Correct. You got that.
Yeah.
And if you're shopping around for a mortgage, which is an even bigger source of credit, they give you 30 to 45 days to shop around for that mortgage, getting the best mortgage payment. So I say 30 days. Just pick the 30 days, get a few different mortgage interest rate loans, and then if that's your plan, to go ahead and get that mortgage. But keeping in mind, if you have a pretty good credit score, the applying for new credit, you know, maybe it would ding you 5 or 10 points lower. So it's not a ton, but if your credit score is a little bit lower, you know, you want to do everything you can to kind of maintain or raise it up.
So there are things that can be done, and there are things that can be done without spending any more money to increase the opportunity for credit in this country right now. And while, as you mentioned, the bar goes up and down, the game continues. And you didn't make the game, but I certainly appreciate you detailing the rules for us. And finally this morning, Peggy, when it comes to credit, what's the best tip you can leave us with?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, I would just say, you know, if or when you borrow, know what you're going to owe, know what you need to pay back, and then have a plan to repay and a backup plan. And you'll just sleep so much better at night.
Yeah.
And also, listen to WPR because they have great tips on this show.
I've learned a thing or two, but my takeaway here you will sleep better, you will feel better if you mind your money better. Basically, and it's not easy for anybody right now because the uncertainty is massive. So prepare for the who knows, and you do that with your credit score.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we all have such busy lives. There's so much to do. Mm-hmm. If you can just, in our Division of Extension, we have our Check Your Credit Report campaign. You can sign up for an email three times a year saying, hey, here's a reminder. Have you looked at your credit report recently? You know, so if you just give yourselves little nudges to get on there, come up with some habits for keeping an eye on your credit, it does, you know, do a world of prevention and to reduce your stress level.
Peggy Olive, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It's been fun. Well, for me at least.
For me as well. Financial Capability Specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security and the Division of Extension. It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with the answer to a Wisconsin question about effigy mounds.
At one point in time, thousands of effigy mounds could be found in what is now called Wisconsin. These ancient burial sites are still significant to members of the state's First Nations. We recently received a question through the Wisconsin Project from a listener who wanted to know more about the effigy mounds. Liz Domes went to learn more about the people who created them.
The path winding around Lake Wissota in Chippewa Falls is thick with bugs and sweltering heat. About half a mile into a hike along the lake trail is a simple wooden fence and a sign. Hidden here under thick foliage is a mound that's more than 250 feet long. It was raised with soil 1,000 years ago to form the shape of a panther. It's an effigy mound, one of thousands across the state. Peter Crisco of Waniwok is curious about the sculptors who created these ancient mounds. He's a sculptor too, and nature is his biggest inspiration.
I would like to learn everything that I can about them, and, you know, how it's connected to the human civilizations that lived here before, and how they connected to spiritual world, and how it all comes together. Because I think it's very relevant for our time, because we are so disconnected from nature.
Amy Roseborough knows all about the mounds in Wisconsin. She's an archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society.
All right, so what is an effigy mound? An effigy mound is a burial mound made out of earth. It's a sculpture. It's a funerary monument.
That's Roseborough during a PBS Wisconsin University Place lecture in 2016.
Effigy mounds are unlike other mounds in that they're shaped like animals or spirits. It could be birds, could be bears, it could be even human form.
Their creations include the man mound in Baraboo, the double-tailed turtle in Madison, and the panther in Chippewa Falls.
And they're built by a group of people we call Late Woodland between AD 750 and 1200.
In a follow-up phone call with Roseborough, she says the Late Woodland people move dirt with wooden spades and digging sticks.
They are taking the dirt from a very shallow area. In other words, they're kind of scraping dirt so that the land will heal over very, very quickly. And they're not going to make a permanent alteration. They just want the mound to be there. That's it.
In her research, Roseborough found evidence of more than 3,100 effigy mounds in Wisconsin. It's estimated that there were many more than that, but there aren't records of them. Roseborough says about 90% of the effigy mounds once strewn across Wisconsin are now gone.
And once the area started to be settled and developed and colonized by Europeans, they plowed them under, they took them away for fill, they quarried, they built houses on top of them.
State law eventually protected these sites, first in the mid-1980s. Members of the Ho-Chunk Nation are fierce protectors of the mounds. They have long said that they're the descendants of the mound builders, and they've been very deliberate about what they share when it comes to these sacred sites.
The traditional court has told me upteen times that every time we expose this information, it gets sabotaged, ruined, or irreversibly damaged.
That's Samantha Skenendor. She's an attorney at Quarles and Brady and a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation. She spent almost two decades working with First Nations all over the country, helping to preserve cultural sites. She doesn't have authority to share the full story, but Skenendor did say that the mounds are a physical response to prayers of desperation sent by Ho-Chunk ancestors to their creator, Mauna.
They were lacking direction and foundation with themselves, their spirits. Wakan is their spirits, or Wakan was lacking and needed support.
They prayed to Mauna, who promised to put medicine in the ground.
The Creator built them for us and had them rise up and show us who we are, where we're from, and that those will always be there for us.
The spirit of the effigies will take care of us, but we have to take care of them too.
WPR's Liz Domes brought us that story on effigy mounds. She answered an audience question as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And you're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Kate Archer-Kent today. This is the Ideas Network.